Morning, everybody. How you doing? Let me extend my welcome to you as well. My name's Jez, and it's great that you got to have me with you for the next few minutes as the children go. There's a real little kind of fun theme this morning, isn't there? And I want to talk a little bit this morning about surprises. Now, when I say surprises, immediately you'll start hopefully thinking of maybe something nice that happened to you. Maybe it was a gift. Maybe it was an event. Maybe it was a surprise birthday. Maybe it was even simple like a text message or a phone call. And we live in a world where people like surprises, don't we? And they even have a TV program about it called Surprise, Surprise. And we're going to look at a clip in just a second. I'm just going to set the scene. You know, those of you that can remember a little bit back, there used to be Cilla Black. Who remembers Cilla Black doing Surprise, Surprise? Yeah, some of the younger ones in the front. Who's Cilla Black? Yeah, that's the question we all asked for all those years. And now there's a program called Surprise, Surprise. And there's a young lady called Holly Willoughby. And she sets up these scenarios. And it's a really nice surprise for the people who are on the show. They come on and they get a nice surprise. Well, she's got a couple of friends called Ant and Dec. And they wanted to play a surprise, surprise on her. So they staged this mock surprise, surprise. And that's what we're going to watch. So just so you know, everybody knows what's going on apart from her. Okay, so don't be shocked by some of the things that happen. Everyone is an actor. Everybody knows. Everyone's in on the surprise, all apart from her. And so let's just watch what happens when they do a surprise, surprise on surprise.
Guess what, Annabelle? Because tonight, you've got the real thing. Surprise, surprise. Hear it singing Annabelle's favourite song, One Love. It's Blue.
The show seems to be going well, but what Holly doesn't know is that her final surprise is about to go badly wrong. One love, oh I do believe, one love is all we need, yeah. No turning back now.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Kenya, it's Richard!
This place, because you see, I just love you so much, and there's one thing I'd like to say. I do want to feel blue. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
To ask you, Annabelle, will you marry me?
No!
What? Why?
I'm so sorry, Richard. I'm so sorry. I love Jean-Luc.
Annabelle, we have been through this.
I'm sorry.
Annabelle, we have been through this.
No, I'm sorry.
Annabelle.
Are you?
No.
Okay, I think what we'll do is we'll leave it there.
I'm sorry, Richard. I can't be here.
Yes, I'm really sorry, everybody. Okay,
please.
Don't worry. Hang on, go and get a cup of tea.
I'm sorry, it was a surprise. It was a big surprise for you and it's a big surprise for you too, Holly, because this isn't surprise, surprise. I'm on. That's Dec.
Don't you just love that bit? Did you see there's a little clip in there where Holly Willoughby's trying to sort it out? She goes, let's go and have a cup of tea. We're so British, aren't we? It reminds me of one of the best surprises that I ever experienced was back in 2007, Helen and myself and our family, we moved back to Swansea. And we were part of the church here in Swansea. And then in 2008, we got ready to be sent back into Africa. And we'd had a meeting, we'd had a service where we'd been prayed for and commissioned to go back into Uganda. And on the very last Sunday, there was going to be a Sunday evening meeting, just a normal worship night that the church held. And so we were at home getting ready, and we got some babysitters to look after our children. And then just as we were getting ready to go out, Julian just turned up. He just kind of arrived. Now, those of you that know Julian, that wasn't surprising. It was just pretty normal. He just sometimes turns up and visits and comes to greet us. So he came and we were chatting and so on. But the thing was, it made us late for the meeting. So we were getting a little bit concerned because it was our last one. It also happened to be my birthday. So we're like, oh no, you know, we want to get there and just enjoy the meeting, enjoy the worship night. And we went, eventually Julian said, oh, I'll see you up the meeting. So we drove up here. And as we came along there, you know, the car park was full and everyone, you know, we thought everyone was in here and the meeting had started. So we just kind of crept along and we opened the door and everyone in the church was in here for a surprise party to send us off. And it was just amazing. It was one of the best surprises that I've ever experienced. And so like you, hopefully there are some nice surprises that you've experienced in your life where you look back and you remember the good things that have happened. And this morning we're going to pick up our story of Easter, where we got two men or two people who are walking away on Easter Sunday. 2 weeks ago we had Easter Sunday and we heard the story about what happened on Easter Sunday. And last week we heard about what happened on Easter morning, where the ladies had gone to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away and stone had been taken away. And they were looking for the body of Jesus and they couldn't find it. And these two people decide to then go home in the evening. And as they walk home, they are totally, totally in a confused state of mind. And they're not ready for any surprises because they've had enough surprises. On the Friday, a very bad surprise happened when Jesus, who they loved and adored and been working with and been walking with all their life, the 3 years that he'd been with them, he was taken away from them. And then on Sunday, they have all the emotions going on of what happened there when they discover about the fact that now these people had gone to the tomb and some of their friends had gone to visit the tomb and there was no body and there was an angel and the tombstone had been rolled away and nobody knew where Jesus was. And so they were completely, completely confused. They were also sad. The Bible tells us that they were sad as they walked along. They were trying to, you know, like sometimes when we're trying to work out what goes wrong and they were talking about it and they were discussing and they were asking each other questions. And as they walked along, somebody else came alongside them and they didn't know who this person was. Now the Bible tells us that the journey was about 7 miles, so it would have taken them a couple of hours to walk. And as they walked along and they talked together and they were discussing, do you understand this? No, do you understand this? What happened? Can we kind of get a solution to what happened? They were just talking and walking along and trying to understand in their distress of what had been happening, all the emotions that were going on, they were trying to understand what was going on. And the Bible tells us that they knew that Jesus was alive. They kind of knew it somewhere, but it didn't really kind of come into their thinking process as they were walking along. And as they walk along, as the two of them are walking along, they begin to discuss, and this stranger starts asking them questions about what's been going on. And they seem very surprised. They're very surprised that this person has been in Jerusalem and doesn't know anything. So they start telling them about Jesus and what had happened to Jesus on Good Friday. And they start telling them about what had happened on Sunday morning when they'd been with their friends and the things that they'd heard that they still didn't understand, but they told them about it. And Jesus, and the person who's walking with them, as we know, is Jesus. He begins to explain to them what went on and what was going on. And he took them back from the Bible. And some of the things that they would have learned when they were young and some of the prophetic things that would have been said in the Bible about Jesus, he begins to explain them and still they don't understand who this is. And after a little while, they get to their town where they're going and they say to the two friends, say, we're going to come to our home. And the stranger, who's a stranger to them, says he's going to go on a journey. And they persuade the stranger to come in and say, no, come and be with us. Come and have some food with us. Come into our house. And come into our house, come and have some food with us. And as they're talking and discussing around some food, around the table in their home, Jesus, as we know, does something that reminds them of something that happened on the day before Good Friday, the day before Jesus was killed. And he does something that reminds them about something that he's done maybe with the feeding of the 5,000. And in the act of doing what he did, the Bible says they got their surprise. And they opened their eyes and realised the person who'd been with them, the stranger who'd been talking with them, the person who was actually in their home, was the very person that they were looking for. And what happens is, immediately Jesus vanishes. Immediately Jesus vanishes from them. And these two people, who are now 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and all the other friends who've been with Jesus or been together on the Sunday morning, they get their things together and they literally run back. Now imagine, on one way they're going slowly, just sad, distressed, confused, they don't really understand. And on the way back, they run with the news that they've seen Jesus, that they've been with Jesus, that they have talked with Jesus, and that he's been with them. And this is an amazing story that happens. And it's another illustration where Jesus is looking for those personal encounters with different people after he's come back to life. As we know, Jesus died on the Good Friday. He was crucified by the Romans and the authorities. And he came back to life on Easter Sunday, the great news. And you'd think that he would kind of go on TV and make a big announcement. But what he does is he begins to meet with different individuals in different situations because he knows what we need. And he knows the situations that each of us are going through. And with these two, he journeys with them till they come to realize, surprise, surprise, Jesus is alive. And they run back and they tell their friends. And there's so many things in this story that can teach us this morning. There's so many things that we can learn. And we're just going to look at a couple of things and share a couple of thoughts that help and encourage us as we discover a bit more about Jesus. The first thing is this, is that Jesus wants us to grow in our understanding of who he is. You see, what amazes me is this. Why didn't Jesus, when he first came alongside them, why didn't he go, da-da, it's me? Why didn't he do that? But what he was doing was, it says that as he was walking along, he was talking to them and helping them to understand a little bit more. These guys believed in him. They'd been with him. They'd hung out with him for 3 years. They'd been with him on the journey of all the different things that he's done. So they did believe, but he wanted them to grow and understand a little bit more about what had happened and why it happened. And Jesus encourages us to want to understand a little bit more. When we talk about it, it's in one of the ways that we can understand, it said in the story that the two people were asking questions about the Bible. And it says that Jesus went through some of the things they knew and some of the things that they maybe had learned when they were children, and he helped them to understand the revelation of what had happened through the Bible. And I want to encourage us this morning that as we grow in our understanding, there are lots of different ways that we can understand God more and grow in our understanding. But one of the ways that God wants us to help to understand more is through the Bible, through this book. You know, this book is just an amazing book, and there's so much in there that we can understand. There's so much that we can grow and learn in, and God wants us to grow in our understanding a little bit more as we go along. It's a little bit like, I'll try and get to, it's a little bit like when you've got children, you know, when you've got small children and you ask them to do something, what's the first thing they say? Why? Could you go and put that sock in the drawer? Why? Because mummy's told you to do it. Why? It seems to be never-ending questions of why. And I think sometimes God wants us to be asking the question, why? Why does that say that? Why is that story in the Bible? What do you want to teach me about God through that story, through that passage of scripture, through that verse? Why is it there? And I think in this example, one of the reasons that we see in scripture that happened when Jesus didn't reveal who he was is because he wanted them to ask the question, why? Why did those things happen? Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus supposedly come back to life? They were about to discover that he had come back to life. And he wanted them to ask the questions why. And so there are lots of things in the Bible that we can begin to ask questions why. And how do you do that? How do we ask the questions why? One of the ways that we can do that is in our small groups, for example. Now, this is just a little picture of something that we did in our small groups this week. And I'm sure all of us who are in part of a small group on a Tuesday, those of you that are part of the church, you're in part of a small group, those of you that are visitors on a weekly basis, we have small groups that get together in smaller numbers on a Sunday where we can talk and ask the questions why. And there's such great opportunities to go and learn from one another. And on Tuesday, we were looking at, you know, as you can see there, the cross and the resurrection and the story of the tomb. And we were just putting some little post-it notes down of things that spoke to us. And for me, in that meeting, just on a Tuesday night, I learned some stuff from other people. I learned and I understood a little bit more from others who are in the same group as me. And so that's why we have small groups, to help one another, to grow in our understanding of what the Bible says, because God uses one another to encourage and to speak to us. And it's a little bit like the fact sometimes, you know, in our understanding, we have some gaps, don't we? There are gaps in our understanding. That's normal. That's normal to have things that we understand and things that we don't understand. But other people in our small group, other people in the church, our leaders and other people that we know, people that maybe are, people that we respect a little bit more in the Christian faith, have been in the journey a bit longer, they may be able to fill some of our gaps with their knowledge and their understanding and help us. Because ultimately, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus is a person that fills our gaps. Jesus wanted to fill the gaps in these two people's understanding. They didn't understand, and Jesus wanted to fill their gaps, and he wanted to help them to understand a little bit more. There are ways that we can read the Bible. There are ways that we can have opportunities to ask questions. This morning we were encouraged to think about the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course is one of the most successful ways that people have come to know Jesus in the last 15 to 20 years. And one of the ways that it's so successful is because it creates an environment where people can ask the question, why? Why does the Bible say that? Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus come to save us? Why is there the church? What does the Bible say about healing? All these questions, it's an opportunity for people to come and simply talk and hopefully fill some of the gaps in their understanding of things that they know, so that they know a little bit more and they grow in their understanding. You know, Jesus wants us to understand more, and he does it through the way that we read the Bible. Often, sometimes you can be reading a story yourself, and for the first time, a story that you've maybe read a few times, and something sparks to you. You go, I never occurred to me like that. A great example of that was last Sunday. A lot of us have heard the story of the first few moments after the resurrection. But many people I've spoken to this week talked about, it never occurred to me that Jesus had time to fold the grave clothes. Lots of people have just sparked that little comment that was made in the talk last Sunday, has sparked a lot of people and go, it never occurred to me. Now it's in the scripture, and sometimes we can read it and we glance over it. And as we begin to grow in our understanding, we send the Holy Spirit speaks to us little things and illuminates our understanding and begins to fill our gaps a little bit more. Another way that we can do that is we can read about different things. Some of you like reading, some of you don't. So some of you, this really works. Some of you, maybe it doesn't. There's a guy called Chris here, and he works with Julian on the board of the EA Evangelical Alliance in the UK. And he's written a book called Paradoxology. It took me a while to actually learn how to actually say that word. That's a long word, isn't it? But in his book, okay, this is what it says. We are like caterpillars crawling across a cinema screen. We're so close to the picture that we can't come close to see the design of the picture that God is working out on the grand canvas of history. He sees the whole picture, we see just a tiny little bit. And what he's talking about, the fact is, there are lots of gaps in our understanding. And what he's trying to do in this book is to explain some of the things that may be in the Bible that we find difficult. Because if we're honest, there are parts of the Bible that we don't understand and that are difficult to understand. And it's really helpful for someone like this to come along and maybe give us a book that helps to answer some of those questions. It says this, many of us have big questions about the Christian faith. And sometimes the unanswered questions seem to be pushed to the back of our mind. We say, I don't understand that. I don't understand why dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible. I don't understand that. And all these questions that we have, and we push them to the back of our mind. But leaving these questions unexamined is neither healthy or honouring to God. Rather than shying away from the difficult questions, it's good to face them head on. What if the tensions between apparently opposing doctrines is actually where faith comes alive? This is what he says. What if the ancient faith that has survived for so long in spite of, not only in spite of, but precisely because of apparent contradictions? What if the difficult parts of the Bible actually help to reveal God more clearly? And for all of us, as we grow in our understanding, maybe there's books that you can read that are going to help you to grow in your understanding. Also, the Bible encourages us to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Now, I want to take you back to 1998, Helen and I hadn't been married for a couple of years. And on 1998, it was the World Cup. Now, all those of you that like football, the World Cup's coming up and it's starting in a month. And we had moved into this house and we'd bought this unit. And like a lot of people, my DIY skills were quite small. So we got this unit. It was a flat pack, so I got it out. And the game on telly was England versus Argentina, the famous game from when David Beckham got sent off. And I was watching the World Cup and putting the unit together. Now, I was like young and I thought, I can do this. This is easy. So I started doing it. I got the instructions. Helen said, have you read the instructions properly? Yeah, I've had a quick glance at the instructions. So I had a quick glance at the instructions and I started to put this together. And of course, you know, watching the game, putting these things together. Well, I did get it together, but it didn't quite look very good. For example, there was a bit that was supposed to come out to the right and that actually went out to the left. And then the door wasn't on properly and it was kind of like upside down on the wrong side. And there were lots of little things about this unit that didn't quite fit and didn't quite work. Now, the reason it didn't is because I was a little bit distracted. It's because I didn't seek the wisdom of the instructions clearly. I just glanced at them and thought, I know what I'm doing. I can do this and I can do it and watch the TV at the same time. And a little bit like that, you know, sometimes when we've got a unit that we need to put together, we need to stop and look clearly at the instructions and understand them before we then do the business of the DIY. And as the Bible here is just encouraging us. The Bible is a book where you can stop and just take some time to see what it says because it gives you wisdom to do the stuff of life and the things that we do. And so the Bible, that's what Jesus was doing here. He was helping these people to understand and to grow in wisdom. Now, the other thing that happened is that another way that these people learned to grow in their understanding was through the experience of that journey with Jesus. You see, at the end of the experience, when they realize the surprise that Jesus has come back to life, what are the things that they say? They said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures? Now that, for me, talks about they felt it. They experienced it. They didn't just know that Jesus was back. They didn't just understand it because he had arrived. As they'd gone on the journey, they began to experience it. And God uses our experiences to help us in our understanding, doesn't he? And we've got a great example of that in this church. God uses our experiences to help our understanding. Venue 2 is a great example for that. Those of you that are visitors to this church, you've heard about Venue 2, you saw a little clip. The journey for Venue 2 started a few years ago with God encouraging the leaders to think about a new building that we needed to have and purchase. And over the years, some of you were here in the beginning and you've heard the story and the testimony of how we went from a house to different locations around here to this building. But all of us that are here now, we're in the experience of Venue 2. And what I mean by that is this, we were here maybe last year when they did the big pledge and you're thinking, we've got to raise a lot of money. How's that going to happen? And yet it happened. By a miracle of God, through God challenging each one of us to give. And then that enabled the work to start on Venue 2. And the work has been going on, and there's a conference coming up in a couple of weeks, and hopefully it's all going to be ready for that conference. And then a couple of months ago, the church leaders came back and said, we need another 50,000. You remember the pie chart? And every week we've been encouraged as we've come along. Now, it would have been easy for God just to write a check and go, how much do you need, Cornerstone? Okay, right. Okay, I can write that check. Here's the check. God could do that. Because he can do anything. But we've been on a journey and an experience together. And through the experience, we've come to understand God. You see, for all of us now, we can testify about the faithfulness of God. Because 6 weeks ago, Sarah stood here with a clip and said, we need to raise £50,000 to finish the building in this first phase and get in. And that £50,000 has come in. How it's come in, I don't know. God did it. God took the money from our pockets and our bank accounts and our sacrificial giving, and multiplied it like the loaves and the bread, and he's made the 50,000. So now we don't just talk about it and say, oh yeah, God can do that. We can experience it because we've been on the journey, haven't we? And so therefore our understanding is deeper and it means more to us because we went through this experience of raising the money together and it's helped us to understand a bit more. And I think that's what Jesus was doing with these guys. As he talked with them and as he was with them, he helped them to experience, because it says they burned in their hearts when he was talking to them. The experience that they went through helped them to understand. So there's lots of different ways that God wants us to grow in our understanding. But the Bible is one, and there are different ways that we can read the Bible and talk about it and learn from each other. And sometimes our experiences help us to understand a little bit more about what was going on and what God is saying to us. We live the story. As we kind of move on, the next thing that this story teaches us is this. The words that Jesus spoke and the things that he did revealed who he was. And the great thing that Jesus did is that when he left to go back to heaven, he said, "Now go and do what I have done." And our words and our actions can reveal Jesus to others. Now we're just going to watch a little clip about a little dog that shows some actions that reveal the true meaning of his heart. Let's just watch this clip.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go.
There's no words there, but we understood that the dog and the horse had this little thing going on, didn't we? Jesus, when Jesus was on earth, one of the things that he did, one of the things that he spoke, and the things that he did were models for us. They were how he revealed to those people that he was who he said he was. He said he was the Son of God, and he was the Son of God, and he knew it, and he came to die and to be raised to life and to set us free. And all through the Bible, we and the Gospels in particular, we understand that all the things that he said and all the things that he did were to reveal who he was to the people around him. And Jesus is encouraging us that we can do the same. We are to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to the people that we live with. Jesus wants to reveal himself to others, and he wants to reveal his love and his compassion and his hope that we heard about this morning to other people. You know, even some of the people who were close to Jesus didn't fully understand. The Bible tells us in Luke that John the Baptist, remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. So they would have grown up together. They would have gone to Sunday school and the equivalent and the play school and all the other things that they would have done together. They would have gone over each other's houses and played and had some fun together. And even at one point in the ministry when John the Baptist was just struggling, it says this, John called two of his disciples and he sent them to Jesus. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we look for someone else? Even he was confused by the things that Jesus was saying and the things that Jesus was doing. People can often be confused, can't they? And John the Baptist showed that. And that's okay. He was asking the question, why? It's okay to ask the question, why? And this is what they did. They sent two disciples to Jesus and he asked them this question. At that time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illness, evil spirits. He restored sight to the blind, and many who were sick were healed. Then he said to John's disciples, "Go back to John and tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." So what Jesus is saying is, what have you seen me do? And what have you heard me say? Now go back to tell John. Tell John all those things that have happened. And that answers the question, are you the one that we're looking for? You see, when we act and when we speak for Jesus, it demonstrates Jesus to others. And people can see a little of who Jesus is through what we say and what we do. And it doesn't have to be big things. Sometimes we think, well, I can't say anything and I'm not good enough. And we sometimes look at ourselves and in one sense, we're not good enough because we do things wrong. But Jesus wants to use the good things that are in us. And the Holy Spirit helps us every day to live in a way that pleases him. This week, for example, I was with someone and they had offered a service to me. And there was a group of us around. And I just went up to this person. And I just said, "Thank you for what you did." And this person looked at me and goes, "Do you know what? People never thank me for what I do." Now, I was always taught by my parents to say please, say thank you. And you think, well, that's such a simple thing. But that particular moment, it made a lot to that person because I just said thank you. And he was in a world where people hadn't said thank you. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about Jesus and so on, but it was an act of kindness. And all of us can do those little acts of kindness. The words that we say, the things that we do, that begin to reveal Jesus. We can't do them of ourselves. We need Jesus, Holy Spirit, to help us. But he does. He comes and lives inside us. And he helps us to do these things. I've been reading another book by a guy called Bob Goff. Those of you that were at the Willow Conference last year, one of the speakers was this kind of crazy American guy. And he's written a book. He's a lawyer and he does some amazing things and he works in Uganda and he's kind of part of a group that helps to set free children that are enslaved in different situations in the world. And he's doing an amazing work. And he tells a story in his book about how when he was growing up and he got to be about a student's age, he was about 19, 20, and he didn't know Jesus and he didn't follow Jesus. And he got to know a youth worker from a local church who was just doing life with him and being kind and saying the right things and just acting in a way that modeled Jesus. And there were times when this guy, Bob, and he wanted to do these wild things, and the only person that would do it with him was this guy who just did life with him for a few months and a few years. And in that doing life with him, in that acting, in that saying things and acting in a way that honoured Jesus, it challenged Bob to say, you know what, there's something real about this relationship with Jesus and I want to get involved. And it was through the actions and the words of a friend that made a difference to him, that made him start on a journey. And now God has used him in amazing ways. And who knows the people that we're impacting at work, at school, at college, in our friends that we meet up with for coffee. There's a whole host of people. It's the words that we say and the things that we do that model Jesus. And it happens in this church. Some of the students, a few years ago, there was a student who came to this church and she lived in the village and there were some people that she was with and living with who weren't particularly open to being followers of Jesus, but she lived with them and she was trying to model to be what it means to act and to be like Jesus. And she just did it in the words that she said and the things that she said and the things that she did. And at the end of the year, when they come together and chose to move out and to go to another house, they all thought she wouldn't want to go into the house with them. But she said, no, you're my friends. Let me be a part of getting a student house together. And one of those people, that act of how she'd behaved the whole year, had an impact on their life. And that caused that person to come to church and to find Jesus. And her name's Laura Bates. And when Laura Bates came to church, God changed her life. And she went on a journey of discovery with Jesus. And then she started to act a little bit like Jesus and say the things that Jesus said and act like Jesus. And she got to know a friend. And that friend was called Perba. And she invited Perba to come to church. And at the testimony that Perba gave on her baptism when she was in church, she said, it was through the things that people did and the things that people said that showed me the love of Jesus. You see how it works? It works, doesn't it? It's the things that we say. And there's people, don't give up. You know, those people, they didn't understand who Jesus was immediately. It took 7 miles and 2 hours with Jesus. So it's probably going to take a little bit longer for us, isn't it? The people that we're with and we're encountering on a daily basis. But don't give up. Be encouraged. Jesus wants us to reveal him to those people. And he does it through us. He could do big surprises. Jesus can do amazing things. But he chooses to use us. He chooses to use us. He wants to use us. And he loves us. And through the things that we understand, we can help other people to be on their journey with Jesus. You know, it doesn't just happen as well on an individual level. It happens on a bigger scale. I'm just rushing through now. 2 weeks ago, on Easter Sunday, there was an article that was put in the paper. And David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the country, said, "We are now a Christian nation." And he was talking about how there were times in his life when he found going to chapel and going to pray helpful for him in his walk and in the things that he did. Now, whatever you think about the politicians or whatever, it went out in the newspaper. The next day, there was an article written in one of the newspapers by a bunch of people that said, "We're not a Christian country." And so there was this people who think we are a Christian country and people that think we're not. That's understandable. But on the very same day, in another newspaper, there was an article by a person who'd gone as an undercover agent to a food bank. Now, those of you that don't know, food bank is something that's run by the Trussell Trust. The Trussell Trust is a charity, a Christian charity that operates all throughout the UK. And they provide food, and you can either donate the food. A lot of people set up in, you know, in the supermarkets and they donate food. A lot of them are run by churches, citizens' advice bureaus, local community groups. They run these food banks for people that are struggling to feed their families. And what's been found over the last few years is that more and more people are using the food banks. And this person, this reporter, went as an undercover agent to show that maybe some of the things are not as strict as they need to be. And he was able to manipulate his way in to get some food. And he wrote an article about it. Well, those of you that are interested in those things, the backlash against him in social media and against that newspaper has been huge. It's been amazing. And these are some of the things that have kind of come out. The first one is this, is that the food bank charity in the last 2 weeks, their donations in the same, any 2 week period, have gone up by 1,000%. Isn't that amazing? Somebody went in to try and say that these people, that, you know, it's not always as strict, and I'm sure there's lots of different reasons why, and I don't want to go into the reasons. But I read a journal from a Christian medical doctor who said, on the basic, most simplest level, this is it. The food banks were being accused. The churches, the people who did them were being accused of being generous and kind. And he said, as Christians, we're guilty. Isn't that amazing? And that's why 1,000%, their donations have gone up by 1,000%, because people realize the good that they're being done. So it's not just about what we do individually. It's about what we do as a church. You know, we as a church, we work in lots of the different communities. And maybe you're not somebody who does go in to do an assembly in a school, or you do some of the gap food projects or some of the other things, but you're part of the family that does it. And we're saying we want to not only individually, but as a church, be a church that say the things of Jesus and act in a way that Jesus acts, because we want people and people in the city to talk about Cornerstone Church, not because of Cornerstone Church, because it reveals Jesus. And so it can happen on an individual level, and it happens on a national level as well. And just to be encouraged, when you see these things going on, there's things to pray for. But, you know, no one could have, I couldn't have made that happen, but it happened in the world, in the UK, those donations going up, because people saw the good things that people are doing in the name of Jesus, which is great, isn't it? So as we come to a close, I'm conscious of time. There's a couple of things that I want to just finish. I just felt when I was preparing this, that in this passage as well, there's a couple of promises that I just felt the Holy Spirit just say, just share these promises that people can take away. You know, all of us, just be encouraged, grow in our understanding of what who God is, of how much he loves us. We can do it through the way that we read the Bible and understanding the Bible. We do it through our experiences of doing life together and the different experiences that we go through. God teaches us about himself. And just to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up being yourself, being the person that God has called you to be, where you are, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your family, speaking the right words, doing the right things in the way that we can with the Holy Spirit's help, because who knows what God is, the seeds that God is planting in those things. But it just in this story, it shows us a couple of promises. And the first one is this, and some of you, I just think, particularly coming into exam time, Jesus is always with us. This is a promise that some of you might just want to take away. Jesus said this, don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. These two people walked with Jesus for those 7 miles. They didn't know he was there, but he was still with them. And maybe you're in some situations where you think, I'm going through a challenging time, or I'm going through a difficult situation, or I've got some exams coming up, or I've got some uncertainty coming up. Just know that promise. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'm with you. Even if you don't feel I'm there, I'm there. He's there with you. And I just felt that was a promise that some people could be encouraged with this morning. And the other one is this, is that Jesus is in the business of changing lives. He wants to change lives. And so for some of you, maybe you've been praying for people for a long time, and there are people that you have been trying to reveal Jesus in the words that you say and the things that you do, and you're kind of like close to giving up. And Jesus says, don't be discouraged. Jesus is in the business of changing lives. What happens to those two people? Those two people walked along a road. They were sad. They were going in one direction and they didn't understand. They encountered Jesus. They went back along the same road. Their minds were changed. Their actions were changed. They went from walking slowly to running fast, and they had the good news of Jesus to talk about. Their lives were changed by Jesus. And Jesus is in the business of changing lives. And that's why we exist as a church. And that's why we're here. And that's why God has placed us in this time. That's why we have the healing meetings. God wants to change people's lives. If people are encountering sickness and pain on a regular basis, God wants to change that. He wants to set people free. He wants to heal people. Matthew gave a testimony of someone. We all know people. There are people in this room that have experienced healing. And there are many more. So that's why we encourage people to get people to come to these healing cafes and the events, because they will encounter Jesus, because Jesus wants to change lives. Maybe there are people that are struggling with things and they don't fully understand and they have questions. And sometimes maybe we can't answer them. But you can say to them, do you know what? I have questions like that as well. But I'm in a place where I can ask questions and talk about it and discover and grow in my understanding of who God is, in a safe place without worrying the fact that I've got questions. It's okay to have questions. And you can then, some people just need to know that God loves them. And you can say, well, I'm in a family where I feel loved, I feel accepted. In this church, I'm not the same balloon as somebody else. We're all different shapes of balloons, as the great illustration with the children. We're all different shapes and sizes, but that's okay. Because we're a family together, and God loves us, and we can be accepted, and we can belong just the way we are. So let's pray together, and as we pray, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to encourage us. Just to encourage you as well. I just think there's somebody, or maybe one or two people here, maybe are suffering some pain at the moment. Just sense there's some people with some head pain, and some, particularly across the front of your head, and you know, across your forehead and the pains that you have around there. I just sense that there's some people like that. And if that's you, then at the end, please come up to the front and Math and Beth and others will pray with you, because Jesus wants to take away sickness and pain. That's one of the reasons why he died. So if that's you, just there's a pain in your head right now, it just hasn't shifted for a couple of days, I just sense some people have been carrying that. God wants to set you free. He wants to change that. He wants to reveal his power into your situation and make a difference. And others of you are just to encourage you that we've got gaps, but Jesus fills the gaps and he wants us to grow in our understanding. And just to encourage you to read the story, to read the Bible, to read the book. It's not a rule about I've got to do it every day. It's just an encouragement to discover God through reading the Bible. And to be thankful that we now can experience God in different things that we go through. And to look back and say, I know God more deeply because I went through that experience. And some of you just here this morning, just to be encouraged and say, as you go into this week, as you go into this month, Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for this story. We thank you for what it teaches us. We thank you that you know us deeply and personally, where we are, who we are, what we're going through. We thank you that you're interested in us and you love us. We thank you that you are in the business of filling our gaps, changing our lives, and helping us to model you to others so that they can encounter you as well. We pray for all the people that we are living with and working with and doing life with. We pray that our actions and our words will continue to reveal you, something of you, to them. And Holy Spirit, just continue to speak to us. And if there is pain and sickness, we pray, Lord Jesus, you will set it free now. The pain will be gone. Sickness will be gone. And we can be set free and have that particular area of our life set free in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.